Now I need to start talking like this because this is how I do my interview.
Podcast voices.
Do we need to talk like
this? Hi, I'm Matt.
I forgot my podcast voice.
It didn't fit my carry-on, so I didn't bring it.
Do you want to borrow one?
Yeah, you can borrow one from me.
Here.
Oh, hello, guys.
Hey, guys.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah, well, all right.
That's the perfect voice.
I'm ready to record. Yeah.
All right, let's do a roll call. I'm Matt.
I'm Philip.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Laura.
And this is Next at Bat with...
Potty Dog!
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Matt.
First we'll have a little chat,
then put on our ring rubber.
Now it's time for Next at Bat!
And we're here today with Potty Talk. Hi, Potty Talk.
Hello.
Hello. Wow.
Hello.
That was highly coordinated. Potty Talk, you are from Houston, Texas.
That's correct.
And could you introduce yourselves to the audience so they can get to know your voices?
Okay, my name is Laura. I've lived in Houston for about 3 years. I don't know what else you want me to say, but doing improv for 7 years.
Sure, perfect.
I have one cat.
Okay.
It's the most important part of me.
Keep going.
I enjoy long walks in libraries.
Right.
And answering online quizzes that tell me what color nail polish I am. Or any other useless trivia about myself.
Perfect.
Can we know what color nail polish you are?
I am a sunny yellow.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's because of my cheerful disposition.
Okay, I see it.
That makes sense.
Oh. And I'm Caitlin. I've been in Houston for 5 years. I'm from Texas originally, small town, 1,000 people. One red light. I grew up on a farm.
Caitlin was just angling her microphone towards herself.
So hopefully you can hear me now. I consider myself a Texan, as everyone in Texas considers themselves. Laura, do you consider yourself Texan?
Temporarily.
Okay.
I would say while I live there, yes, but I'll probably move eventually, and then I don't think I will consider myself a Texan. I am going to continue to say y'all, though.
Where are you from originally?
From the Midwest. I moved around a little bit, mostly Indiana and Ohio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're from Texas originally. Where'd you move to and then come back?
I went to school outside of Chicago.
Okay.
And then I moved to Houston, to the big city of Houston.
Well, and also from a big city is my podcast partner. Always joining me today is...
Philip Simondet, Minneapolis, born and raised.
Yep.
Improv like 4 years now, right?
Something like that. We're not sure. Five?
I'm really bad at calendar.
5 years?
And I have no idea what nail polish color I am.
I can hook you up. I'll send you a link.
I think you're, clear.
Yeah.
I'm getting like a maroon vibe.
Maroon?
Yeah.
Wow.
I could see a maroon.
Yeah.
All five of my fingers?
Yes.
Great.
what would be his, isn't there like a highlight nail?
Like
an accent nail.
Accent nail, that's it.
Okay.
Oh, are you into that trend?
No, I'm into chipped nail polish.
Okay.
It's where I paint my nails once a month and then just slowly peel it off and then paint them again.
Very Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
That is a long
process
right there.
It's super, yeah.
I'm dedicated.
Accent for Philip.
Act like you don't care.
I feel like it's probably all clear but one maroon.
Huh, okay.
I see that.
If I know myself, I'm mostly nothing, but every now and then...
Your blood red.
And of course, your host every time is
Matt McLeod. Thank you, Philip. What nail polish color am I? I'm not so sure.
I feel
you're blue.
I was thinking like a different color on each nail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
To celebrate the SCOTUS ruling.
Yeah.
That's lovely. I love that.
This episode
does commemorate the first episode since the landmark ruling, which was yesterday.
Exciting.
What's that?
I said exciting.
It is exciting.
And Pride's tonight. That's even more exciting.
I know, right?
Yeah, Pride's tomorrow.
Yeah.
I went to the festival. There was like some booths and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
You say booths, funny.
I don't entirely know how to say it. That's why.
She always thinks of the family instead of the item.
Oh.
like going to visit the booths.
Are you family friends with the booths?
I am. Yeah. We grew up. I played with their kids. Mm-hmm. Their son was 2 years younger than me. I used to push him off of things.
Sure.
Yeah. These are all true facts.
Yeah. All right. So now that we got our introductions out of the way.
Wait, guys. I didn't tell you my nail call out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am going to have to go with... I think like a coral, a orangey coral.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Matches my lipstick that I wear all the time, for number one. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like kind of sassy. It's kind of sassy and sweet. And I also hate myself.
Oh, you'll be right at home on this podcast. All right. So thank you so much for being on the show. I know that your time is limited, being that you're in town for the Twin Cities Improv Festival, which is going on right now. You just played a show last night. How did it go? Let's start with that.
It went really well.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was a fun show.
Yeah, good crowd. cool space. Never been there before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Great space. I am disappointed I did not climb on the wall. I am really disappointed. Also, the guys before us. What was our troop? The troop before us?
Polar Bear Centric.
Polar Bear Centric. I'm sorry. Yeah. I missed. We were able to watch the opening show. What was the opening show?
For a Good Time Call.
Oh my gosh, Lauren's just on it. But yeah, For a Good Time Call. They were awesome. Mm-hmm. But the guys in between.
Polar Bear Centric.
Yeah, Polar Bear Centric. They, just watching on the video, they were
amazing.
Like high energy.
They had a particularly high energy set.
Oh,
that was really good.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry I missed it. Yeah. Yeah, and I saw them. Oh yeah, I saw them climbing on the wall.
And there's a group later that climbed up on the wall. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
So pretty much in that light, that was a failure. So
we got to walk really through the door, though. We don't have a door in our theater, so I was like, I'm going to walk through that door a bunch. And we did.
The door's pretty... The stage is a great setup. It's, how has it been being at the Twin Cities Improv Festival? Like, what's your experience been like being in the Twin Cities?
It's been great. Everyone's real friendly and nice. It has a nice, like, there's a lot of groups visiting, but it also feels pretty personal. Mm-hmm. We had someone check us in, the delightful Jill Bernard. We got our badges, which had, like, notes on the inside of it. And, very friendly.
Cool.
Okay, but what I've heard from several people is that, because I'm like, oh, how do you like living in the Twin Cities? And everyone says that everyone's just super passive aggressive. Is that true? Ooh, are you just pretending?
Wow.
Are you like, are you being sweet? Are you like legit really nice people?
Are you going to edit this and make us look stupid?
No.
I mean, we wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. I get it.
Sick burn. I feel deeply saddened on my inside part.
I wasn't going to take the swing because it was such an easy ball to hit, but I'm glad you did, Philip.
Well, my value is definitely dependent on my intelligence. So much. Guys, I'm going to go kill myself.
My value is mostly based on my cat.
Her nail polish is fading from coral to like a light pink.
Is that taking away my sass or my sweet? No, it's taking away my sass. Oh, crap.
That's
the part everyone likes.
Minnesotans do have a reputation for being like somewhat passive aggressive. I don't get that from the improv scene too much.
Okay, I only heard that from improvisers.
Okay.
But talking about other improvisers or just...
I think talking about you specifically.
Yeah, well, they're all a bunch of shitbags.
Wow, that's active aggression.
Yeah, Philip doesn't trade in passive aggression.
I'm going to edit that in. I'm going to just dub it and so it repeats over and over.
But a bunch of shit bags.
All a bunch of shit bags.
Bunch of shit bags. All a bunch of shit bags.
What's in the bag?
Bags.
Shit. What's in the bag?
Shit bags.
Drop that beat.
Alex Collier's a shit bag. Kobe Cooper is a shit bag. Pat Tracy's a shit bag. Joe Bernard is a shit bag.
That's really hot.
Okay, this is where we stop. Wow. This is where we stop.
This is deeply offensive.
No, I love all of those people.
Potty Talk does not support that.
We may have helped make that sound, but that doesn't mean
I would like to go on record as saying that we have never called anybody a shitbag until Potty Talk came on the show.
We bring out...
We got Southern House.
We bring out the dirty.
So, Let's talk about you guys for a little while.
I don't know any shitbags.
No, that's okay. Not interesting. That's not what we're here for.
Oh, that's the only reason I came.
Okay, so you two do a lot of very character-driven scene work. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And
I just want to ask you, how do you know that, Matt? You weren't on our show last night.
Oh, no, that's true.
Ooh, you're Minnesotan now.
That was aggressive, though.
Yes, you're right. I wasn't there. Do you want to ask why?
Why were you
why?
Not?
I didn't want to go.
Wow. You know what? I appreciate your honesty, though.
What did you do instead?
No, I did want to go, but I had other things that I had to do.
Like
I
what?
Apologize.
Can you tell us specifically what?
I can't, actually.
Very rude.
I cannot speak about that. No.
Okay, man of secrets. Okay.
Yes. Men of secrets?
Men of secrets, yeah. Minuscule.
Oh, I was thinking it was like Minnesota, but secrets. Oh. Men of secrets.
Men of secrets, I like it. Troop name.
You're welcome. Change your name right now.
Minnesecrets. You got it. Yes, you do a lot of character-driven scene work.
Yes.
And the scenes are typically a little bit longer than, you know, your usual montage scene work. Is that correct?
Yeah. Last night our show, we did a lot of scenes, more than we normally do. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll typically do about 4 or 5 in a 20 to 25 minute set. We did like 7 or 8 scenes last night. Hmm. Mm-hmm. They're a lot faster than, but normally we do longer scenes.
So are both of you pretty much, is that something that makes you two work as a duo, that sort of attraction to like delving deep into character work?
The reason why Laura and I started doing improv together is because we have this like unnameable chemistry.
Yeah, it's just magic.
It's honestly, it makes performing with other people really hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a really good relationship, you know? And then when you, like, when you really have it, you can't pretend with other people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Laura's hyper intelligent, so she can name it probably, but
I don't know.
I'm just instinctual.
I try not to look at it too closely because I'm afraid that I'll dissect it and then accidentally kill
break it.
So I just accept that sometimes there's magic in the world, and what we found in performing together is it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. But it is fun delving into the characters. Yeah,
and it's something that in one of our first practices, the person we had coaching us, I think, did an excellent job and asked us what type of improv we wanted to do. Did we want to do really game-based stuff, or did we want to do slower relationship, more grounded things? And we both were like, oh, I don't know, like trying to hedge around it. But then turns out we both wanted the exact same thing.
So a little passive-aggressive.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Man, I'm so passive-aggressive. I will
that
name it.
Not true. Caitlin's the nicest person in the world.
Which means I'm super passive aggressive. I'm just really good at it.
So
that's awesome.
So you did kind of decide on the slower character-driven stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that wasn't seen last night at all.
I wouldn't say it was necessarily a typical Potty Talk show, though we tend to have a fair amount of variance in them. Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of just do whatever feels right.
Some dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard when you're, I mean, at least for me, because I don't have much experience performing outside of my home stage or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I feel way more confident in exploring like a longer, slower improv set, just because I feel like the audience knows me as a person and is willing to walk with me through sure. that, you yeah. know? Mm-hmm. And whereas like out of town festivals, I kind of feel like if people aren't laughing, like it needs to be more game based, sure. you know, because it's like, this is a show. Like, yeah it's, and it's a lack of, just a lack of experience on my part, I think, at this point in time, to, mm-hmm. and confidence in that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also, every city is going to be completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in Chicago last week, and then the audience in Chicago seemed much more willing to let people explore weird stuff, I think, because they have more experience with it. So, not knowing the audience in a given city is going to be completely. So, performing there where everyone has a lot of experience with improv versus. going to like a small town in Ohio or something where people are going to be like, what is this? I don't understand. There you're going to have to make sure it's really obvious what's going on mm-hmm. to kind of help them through it. So going to a new city kind of blind, not knowing what yeah. they're comfortable with mm-hmm. is interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you're pretty aware of kind of what the audience needs from you, like how much hand holding they might need. Is that fair to say?
Try to be.
Okay. Yeah, I think that is, but I wanted to make sure that it's not like, okay, so it's not about really, I mean, I clearly am trying to measure the audience and all that, but at the same time, it's probably my lack of confidence and lack of experience that doesn't let me do the longer, slower paced improv. I think when I'm going, you know, like it's just, I don't know. It's something that I'm trying to work through. And one of the reasons why I was really excited about going on a little mini tour. So, if that makes sense.
It does.
Because you're looking at me like, oh.
Oh, no.
Matt's giving crazy eyes and shaking his head.
I always.
Now he has a knife. What's going on?
I always want to give you guys more of a chance to speak before I jump in.
Okay.
I don't want to try to finish your thoughts for you.
Okay. Well, at any point, you can do that for me.
But not for me. Please don't finish any of my thoughts. I like surprises at the end of my pinatas.
So when you, how long have you been a duo at this point?
A year.
Okay, cool. A lot of groups that, especially duos that focus on kind of the slower character driven stuff, they have a hard time, at least at first, finding the funny. Mm-hmm. In those types of scenes, have you gone through any stages like that, or have you been able to find the comedy in those, you know, kind of real to life scenes anyway?
I don't think we've had any trouble finding the funny. I haven't really felt that. I think because we started from a place of like, whenever we first started, it was much more focused on the funny. And so I think we've been slowly building towards the more serious, slower stuff. I don't feel like I've ever had trouble finding the funny with Caitlin. I think it just comes out naturally. We're both, I would say we're both very entertaining improvisers. And so it just sort of, it's hard to not find the funny whenever you are having so much fun playing with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that that's one of the like one of the most intriguing things to watch in Laura and I is that we're really enjoying one another. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like we're really, it's really, really.
It's so much fun.
I think people who like themselves and who are liking the people that they're playing with on stage are just really fun to watch in general. Yeah, but I completely agree with Laura. I think that now more often I'm like, okay, it's okay for this scene to be serious. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I think that I do tell myself and like, because in the, like Laura had said, you know, I feel like we found the funny pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of times now I'm just like, okay, make sure like it's a really well-rooted character. And yeah, it's okay if it's not funny.
Do you find games inside of your kind of character-driven stuff? Or do you kind of shy away from game being that you're more focused on
We find character. Games sometimes. Like last night, we had some scenes that were kind of game based, and I actually don't like that much.
Okay.
Like it comes out naturally, and sometimes you're in a scene where you're like, oh, okay, this is just a scene based around a pretty sticky thing.
Yeah.
But they tend to not be as sustainable. Yes. So it's hard to play an 8-minute scene whenever you have a game. Like you kind of have to move on to a different game or play mm-hmm. it real slow. Sure. And then it
layered games.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's just like a lot to keep track of. Part of what I really like about character based scenes is that you just have to be a character mm-hmm. and stuff is going to happen. Like we're going to push each other's buttons or we're going to go on cool adventures together or sure. something. Just being that person's self mm-hmm. is what drives it and makes it so entertaining rather than like if A, then B.
Right.
If A, then B.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. How do you stay focused on character without getting too focused on plot? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
because
it's easy to, mm-hmm. like, if you are doing an 8-minute scene, mm-hmm. so, like, okay, well, if all of this has happened, well, then we need to resolve the story. Do you mm-hmm. feel that way, or do you feel like the story is always secondary to the characters? How do you negotiate that on stage when you're clearly not able to discuss it between yourselves?
I definitely feel like that the plot is secondary to the characters. Right. Yeah. It's more intuition based on what my character is feeling at that point in time, and that's how I explore. That's how I explore my world as an improviser is just feeling the character, feeling what they want at that point in time, like just doing if this then what with that, not. Like emotionally wise, I feel like that's one way I really get rooted as well as just an emotion. But
yeah, I tend to also focus on the character. Sometimes I'll be in a scene, I'll be like, oh, this character needs to undergo a change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
usually the most, at least with Potty Talk, mm-hmm. the most plot based things that I'm conscious of. It helps that we don't do a narrative form. Mm. If we did a form that the entire piece mm-hmm. was one world that mm-hmm. we were living in, then I would feel a lot more pressure to tie up strings and to be very aware and conscious of all of those things and keeping them in my head. But because each scene is its own entity, that like the themes influence, mm. but the characters are gonna not come back. The things that we create exist only in that scene. So it's a little bit easier to focus only on that scene.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, yeah.
But whenever I'm thinking about, oh, this character needs to undergo a change, I just think, what would make this character change? Rather than, like,
right. yeah.
how do I try and shoehorn it in, which I have been guilty of in the past.
I think we all have, sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's like, okay, I know something needs to happen. All right, vampires!
I mean, yeah, I guess that's one way to do it.
And my mom is one of them! No! Yeah, or...
Why are you growing fangs, Mom? Now I'm terrified!
Look at how scared I am! My eyes are big!
And I'm shaking! So speaking of vampires, how...
Yes, I am a vampire.
What?
Was that not the question?
Now it is. how does absurdity play into your set?
Oh, we're super absurd.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, I think we really enjoy, and I mean, I guess I can't speak for both of us. I really enjoy
whatever
doing...
I enjoy.
It's true.
We are the same.
But I really enjoy having like really well grounded and developed characters that have real emotions and feelings in crazy situations. Yeah. Okay. So like being, oh, I'm lost and I'm confused and I'm scared and I really want to just be at home and I'm sad and having all these real emotions that people can relate to, but I'm in a candy forest.
Yeah, sure.
So putting them in a strange situation mm-hmm. that is very absurd. I like the contrast between the real emotions that people can relate to.
So grounded insanity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also we're both vampires.
Yeah.
what would you say is your biggest strength as a duo?
I mean, I would almost say just like the joy we feel in each other.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's it. Yeah.
I think that everything else is easier because it's so much fun. It doesn't ever feel like work. I don't ever think, oh, I have to schedule a practice because we have a show coming up. Mm-hmm. We're just like, we haven't practiced in a while and I miss it and it's great.
A lot of other troops that I'm a part of, well, I guess not at this point, but for a while, they were just about like getting together and talking and like catching up on life, you know, not actually doing improv. Whereas with Laura, I still want to do all those things, but I really want to do improv with Laura. Like, so that's our way of like catching up or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's for sure the number, that's our greatest strength.
Yeah. I teach classes at our theater, Station Theater, and I tell a lot of my students that my greatest wish for them is that they will someday find a person to do improv with that is half as much fun as it is to perform with Caitlin, because even that is so much fun.
Oh, I'm crying.
Oh, no.
Her nail polish is officially coral again.
Yes. Got so my sass
sassy.
Back.
So sassy.
How Caitlin got her sass back.
I'm down.
It's the whitest remake of that movie ever.
Wait, can you... What's the real name? Because I don't know.
Stella got her group back.
Okay, so that is, it's a really frustrating thing, I feel like, for a lot of improvisers with it to interact with me, because generally I don't know any pop culture reference, and I don't even think that that's like current knowledge, how Stella got her groove back or whatever. I think that was like, but was like, I have never.
Yeah, that's like 20 years old.
Yeah, I don't know anything that was relevant like 20 years ago, certainly not relevant today.
Yeah.
So I'm generally out of it.
I used to, in college, I did short form, and I used to study pop culture because we would get a lot of suggestions and we would get suggestions for pop culture things. So I used to like, be like, oh, I really don't want, like, I read all the Twilight books. Ugh. I regularly consumed like news because I needed to keep up on current events, including like celebrity gossip news. I know a whole lot about Selena Gomez. I know a lot about Selena Gomez.
Oh, what do you know about Selena Gomez?
So she was dating Justin Bieber, but they broke up, and honestly, she was way too good for him. Let's all be real here. She started on the TV show Wizards of Waverly Place. She seems like a really nice person in general. She just seems real sweet. She's a good dancer and singer. I can sing a lot of her music. We'll save that for later.
Why?
I think it should name out. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. Prove what Selena Gomez songs do I know? So one of her early hits was in a movie where she was a dancer that wanted to make it big. And everyone was like, Selena Gomez, you'll never make it as a dancer. And so she sang the song that was, tell me something I don't know. Something I don't know. Something I don't know. And the whole song is about like, I know, guys, stop telling me it's hard. And the whole time she's like doing these sweet dance moves that I'm totally doing right now.
Right now, she's perfectly.
Wow, that's an amazing dance move you have going on, Laura.
I'm aware.
And super appropriate for a 13-year-old street girl, too.
Yep, lots of gyrating. anyway, so I used to study pop culture a lot because I don't really like it. I don't like using it. I don't know, because it alienates people, I think, a lot of times if you don't get it.
It alienates me.
So I try not to use it, but sometimes it comes up. I'm not as good about it anymore because I was like, this is a lot of my time.
Yeah.
It was a lot of time.
For instance, Facebook. I mean, come on, you're up on Facebook, right, Caitlin?
Okay, I just got back on Facebook.
What?
Like 2 months ago. No, actually a month ago.
Did
I probably
say after Omaha?
It was after Omaha. Yes. Oh my god, yeah. So I just did not actually, I started recognizing that it's like a really great form of communication, but I don't use it. You know, like I just don't use it. Like people will tell me, clearly tell everyone about their lives, and I just read it, but I don't share. And I think that's an unhealthy relationship if I don't share, and I don't want to share. So that's why I disconnected it. But at this point, I don't know why. Oh, I got back on because I was going to have this stellar birthday party, which I did. And I needed to send... Oh, and I hand wrote invitations to everyone. But I put the wrong date on the invitation. So I had to get on Facebook and create an event real quick and invite everyone to it. So.
It's a quick sidebar. Philip, did you get one of those invitations?
Oh, did you not?
No, I didn't get one.
Guys, they were lost in the mail.
This is really awkward.
This is awkward.
I got 5 invitations.
Oh, did one of them have my name on it?
No, they all had my name, but like spelled with different hearts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, hearts.
It was like the best birthday party in the world.
I'm sure it was.
Clowns and a bouncy castle.
I probably would have been busy.
It was outdoors.
Face painting.
Busy all the time. Yeah, we're probably busy.
Super busy.
Yeah. We were probably busy.
Yeah, guys.
Flew me in on a jet.
I did. You were actually in Hawaii at that point.
Yeah. I was.
I was going to say the only thing that would have kept us away is transportation. But
I have a private jet. Wow. And I made sure all my guests that I wanted to be at that party that really meant a lot to me in my life
would have been there.
Yeah. Would have been there. So I even brought my grandmother from the nursing home.
She brought my grandmother back from the dead to attend. They were very close.
You didn't even like, did you? Oh,
well,
you,
clearly,
you
know, she was
you
important
were very
to
close.
Me.
There it is.
Yeah, that's, I'm
you
sorry.
You were very close, but you hated her.
But my grandmother loved her.
Right. So it was this sort of love-hate relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
So thanks for doing that. Although she's kind of falling apart. I wish she would just die again. It's cruel to keep her imprisoned.
I have to keep her for next year. Next year's birthday.
Well, speaking of falling apart. Now's the time of the show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner.
It's Philip's Corner. That was really nice.
That was nice.
I felt very comfortable.
Was there harmony?
That is about to change.
Yeah, that's going to change real fast.
Bring it on.
God,
let's
now
go.
I'm actually nervous.
Do you want me to tell you my darkest secrets and fears?
Holy shit, you know the corner.
I can.
Yeah, this is the part of the show.
Oh, no.
Where I step out of the, open the shade so that you reveal this corner that I've been sitting and watching you.
I didn't see you the whole time.
And then we make eye contact. I stare into your soul and I bore out a question.
Oh.
This sounds really painful.
I'm seeing questions.
But I love it. Exchanged. Let's go. Bring it on.
And then you answer brilliantly.
Oh, God.
Laura.
Yes, Philip.
What's the most pain you've caused another human being?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
It can be physical
or
emotional.
I think I know the answer. This is a shitty story. Okay, so originally the reason I moved to Texas was because I was dating someone. And I know.
Who are you dating? Oh, no, don't.
You know. I'm not going to use his name. And
it was.
Yeah, it was a he. So he got a job in Texas, and after we both graduated, I moved down with him. And I would say the most pain I've ever caused anyone was whenever I broke up with him later.
You did? So you did multiple
times? No, just the once. Yeah, every time I broke up with him, I guess is a true statement. Yeah, I would say that's the most pain I ever caused someone, because he was still very much in love with me, and I was not. So breaking someone's heart, especially someone that I cared about for so long. How you feeling right now? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Truth bomb.
I'm about to throw up waiting for my question.
I'm about to throw up because of I had bad food.
Yeah.
Secondary question.
What? I didn't agree to this.
What is the most joy you've ever brought to a human being?
Oh, I love this one.
This one's way harder though. Because I don't call... That's the thing.
Because I've hurt so many.
I try my best to avoid causing people pain, but I also go out of my way to provide joy to people as much as possible. So picking like one specific thing. Probably some of the most joy I've ever caused people is just by being like very present and following up with them. I try very hard to, especially whenever I'm teaching classes to make people feel like they matter. And I think in the real world outside of improv, it's not everyone does that. You kind of get lost in the flow a lot. It's very easy to be under the radar in society and to not have anyone who actually touches you and actually wants to know that you're okay. So I try and ask people genuinely, are you okay? What's going on? How's your life? Tell me about things that are important to you. And I've had people tell me like that they really appreciate it and that I have impacted their life just by, at least in my mind, just by being present and being willing to listen to them and actually caring.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You can touch me. Yes, I feel it. I feel it.
There was a small spark that happened when the contact occurred.
That's potty talk.
Oh yeah, why did you call yourselves potty talk?
So our first real
Phillips Corner.
This is normal.
Our first real conversation was about toilets.
Yes.
So we both are very fascinated and interested in toilets. I spent a summer working.
Laura more so.
Kayla was interested that I knew I'm so really, much.
Yeah, I'm interested in the talking aspect of body talk.
Well, yeah, I guess she was just really interested that I'm so weird and know so much about toilets. So I spent a summer at an internship where I studied toilets for an innovation company. Wow. So for a summer, I watched interviews and observational footage of people in their homes using toilets. And then I researched. Yeah.
And, you know, Philip does that online.
Yeah, but we get waivers signed. They all know they're being watched.
Oh, that's way different.
And
you can't trust the data then. They might be pooping differently knowing that you're watching.
Okay. All right. And so yeah, I researched a lot. I know a lot about toilets. I have a lot of opinions about toilets.
So we talked about it.
We talked about it
in like an hour.
Yeah. A long time. So that's why we're called potty talk.
And that's where it came from.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Philip. Observer's paradox, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's not my turn, is it? Can I close my eyes?
No. I wouldn't be able to extract a question from your soul.
Oh, God. Okay.
Caitlin, what is the darkest moment of your life? That was Laura, not Philip.
I'm not going to answer that question.
Oh, no.
Caitlin. What is the darkest nail polish you've ever worn?
Oh my God. That was such a good question. I think it's probably
seriously, I got what's the most pain you ever caused? And Kayla got a question
Laura,
about
shut no. it. Shut it, Laura. It's, you're supposed to have my back right now.
I do have your back. I do not have his back.
I have extreme anxiety.
I know. I'm sorry. Continue.
It is very normal that groups break up on our show.
Well, anyway, to get back to the question that all the listeners are wondering, want to know the answer to, probably like a dark maroon, like that appears to be black.
That's your color, Philip.
Oh my, I'm sorry I stole it from you. I had it first. I think.
No, it's a good sign. It's synchronizing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Follow-up question.
Uh-oh.
What's the lightest nail polish you've ever?
That one.
I would say definitely say natural. I just buff my nails. That's all. That just means make them shiny.
Thank you.
In case you're wondering.
Thank you.
I only have two questions. I answered them.
I've got a final question for the both of you.
Uh-oh.
What's the most pain we collectively have ever caused?
Answer at the same time?
Yeah, if you could answer at the same time in tandem. When was the last time you were mad at each other?
Oh, dude, no.
Oh, I have it.
What was that? Kayla was trying to gesture something.
I was going to say
I'm struggling
together.
To think of any time that I've been mad at
you. Okay, I can just say Laura is wonderful and happy and cheerful all the time.
Oh, I know exactly when you were mad at me.
It was like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were going to the airport to the San Francisco or the
California Comedy Festival.
Yeah. And I had just woken up, and she started singing at my doorstep, and it was like, and I was just like, I hate you.
In my defense, I don't remember that because I do it so often; it's just my normal state. It did not trigger any memories for me. I was just like, we're going to California, woo! And I had eaten breakfast tacos very shortly before then.
Yeah, she's always happy and wonderful.
Aww. That's not true. Only when I'm with you, Caitlin. Aww.
That has been Phillip's Corner. Thank you, guys. Yay.
Oh my god, I got out of that one.
That was intense.
I was like, I might not be able to tell for my friends and family that they can listen to this podcast of these questions coming out. But now I can. And I'll tell your friends and family too, Laura.
Thanks.
I'll tell your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, you made a special appearance.
Hey, are you two ready to do some improv?
Yeah.
Always.
Next up, Pat!
There is a pristine white desk. Everything is in line. All the papers are in line. You can tell that the books that are there have several tabs that are color-coded.
On the wall, you see a beautiful, pristine black frame. There is no picture in it. It's just the frame with a black back.
The room that this is in has an immensely vaulted ceiling compared to the rest of the rooms in this building. There's a lot of Greek-style columns, and the ceiling is at least 25 feet tall.
The woman sitting at the desk is only wearing a robe.
I just don't think I'm going to get it all done by the end of the day. I don't. I'm frustrated. I'm talking to myself in my room alone. I have all these things piled up. There's the wedding. I have to finish the graphic design. I have to spend time with my friends. I have to live a little. Just a little. A little part of me needs to live.
Kathy, it's me, your subconscious. What if we lived a lot?
I have so many things to do, subconscious. I can't just leave it all. Let's, this is who I am.
With me for a second. What if you did leave it all? What if you just walked out that door and didn't get married and didn't finish the graphic design and instead we took a road trip across the country? Haven't you always wanted to see Mount Rushmore? You never have you, Kathy? You're 32 years old and you've never seen Mount Rushmore. Isn't that sad, Kathy? Isn't that sad?
It's really sad, subconscious, but I can't. How would I even start? Where would I begin?
You could start by walking out that door. Just leave it all behind, Kathy.
The door creaks open on its own.
Look, it's open. Your way out.
And a window opens a little bit, too. And we notice that we're three stories up.
Kathy, do you want to live dangerously?
I'm not the dangerous type of person. That's not me. That's never been me. Why would today be the day that everything changes, that I make this decision today?
Kathy, have you ever thought about how every day is a day in your life? Don't you want that specific day to be the best day you've ever had? If you keep thinking like that, then every day is going to get better and better. And I think today could be the best day.
Today could be the best day. Today I could change. Today I could not call Clarence back. This is going to hurt me so much.
Why don't you just go over to that window and look out, Kathy? See the world, the blue sky, the green grass. Doesn't it feel good to feel that breeze on your skin? Wouldn't it be nice to go out that window?
I could have all the snow cones I wanted and no one would judge me.
No one.
I would walk alone eating ice cream.
So much frozen yogurt.
No ice cream, subconscious.
So much ice cream.
If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this big. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to go to Mount Rushmore, and I'm going to get a convertible. I'm going to drive there. But ooh.
Now you're talking. Don't back away from it, Kathy. Kathy.
She walks over to the window and throws the windows open wide and lets the cool air blow in.
Feel it on your skin, running through your hair. How long has it been since you felt a breeze run through your hair, Kathy? A week? A month? A year? Do you even remember?
It's been years since I've felt like I've been touched by anything. By Clarence, by myself, by anyone that loves me, by the wind.
She loosens the belt of her robe and lets it fall open.
Now we're talking, Kathy. Don't you feel alive? Don't you feel good?
I feel alive. I feel sexy. I feel daring. This notebook is going out the window, and all yes. the tabs are going with it.
Throw it away. You don't need that anymore. That's from your old life, Kathy.
World, these are my breasts, and they're going to run through the streets of Vancouver. And I'm going to drive to Mount Rushmore, and they're going to bounce in the wind because I'm never going to put a bra on again. And I'm not going to shave my vagina. I'm going to shave it everywhere else, though, because fuck you, Clarence. Fuck you, Clarence!
Good job, Kathy. You don't need me anymore. I've always been a part of you, though.
I can't do this alone.
Kathy, listen to your heart. You don't want to be a graphic designer. You want to be a nudist roaming the country. In a convertible.
In a convertible.
With ice cream.
With ice cream. In all the sticky places.
That can be your life, Kathy. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. So do it, Kathy. And live your life the way it was meant to be lived. With a whole heart, an open mind, and no bra.
Do you want any hot sauce on your tacos?
Yes.
I've got like mild, I've also got hot, and I've got that sriracha that everyone likes these
days.
Okay,
I just need a minute to think. This is like... This is a pretty big decision.
I don't know. Karen? When
George?
When I asked you out, I didn't think that it would be this stressful.
I didn't either. This is the worst first date I've ever been on.
This is the only one I've ever been on.
Can I cut in front of these two? Like, if they're still making a choice, can I just...
It kind of...
Should we let her go
in front of
it kind of ruins the line. You guys, like, you see how we have a system here where we pass
busy.
It? I just need to just put the sauce on it, then I pass it down. Like, if you mess up the order, then the food gets out of... It's just the whole thing.
My little heart is pumping so fast right now, I don't know what to do.
He has a heart condition. This is very stressful.
Oh, so probably okay. Mild then. I would suggest mild.
But what if that's too mild?
I think we should give him like the extra spicy and get him out of here. Get the boy out of here.
Ma'am, what made you so cruel?
Life. And you too, fucking up my taco line.
Oh, mister.
Yeah.
What if Karen doesn't like me for not getting hotter sauce?
What if I don't?
Well, I mean, you could go for the hottest sauce. You'll have to sign this waiver.
But what if I can't handle it? What if my little heart explodes?
That's what we have the waiver for, obviously, to cover our butts, our corporate
butts.
I'm sorry. I'm technically not supposed to use suggestive languages. So here's a written apology. I'm sorry that I said the B word in your presence. Just again covering my ass. Oh shit. Oh fuck. God damn it.
This is very offensive.
So the thing that you all have to remember when you're giving tours of the museum is that sometimes people don't know what they're looking at and they might try and touch the art. Do not let them touch the art and we will have a great summer together. Okay.
That sounds simple.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to do a little bit of a test. As you can see here, we have a 13th century pottery.
Oh, it feels cool.
Okay. Okay, Gerald. All right. You're fired.
What? Why?
He didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
You touched the art. Wait,
that's the cultural experience.
You said don't let the tourists touch the art.
All right, maybe I need to clarify things a little bit. No one is allowed to touch the art under any circumstances. If something goes wrong and you think the art might need to be touched,
does that mean
one of us also? No.
What about?
No touching. Don't touch it. Ooh. Stop it. You touch the art again and you're fired.
You know what I think would look really good with the Picasso is if we just add a stick figure right here.
Oh.
Just add
That's really cool.
Just a nice stick.
Stop.
But you didn't touch the art.
My pencil was touching the artwork just then.
Okay. All right. Let me be very, very clear. Neither you nor anything else that you are holding, touching, thinking about, or anything at all is to touch the art.
Look, Brian's making out with that Monet.
That is far too much tongue, young man. Your technique is just really terrible, and also that is priceless.
Hey, look, you guys. Look, if I pinch the back of it, it looks like Mona Lisa is talking.
Hi, guys. What am I smiling about?
This is interactive art. I like it.
No, it's just regular art, guys.
But I'm just touching the back, the not painted part.
Hey, Mona Lisa, McDonald's or Burger King? McDonald's or Burger King?
I'm a Whopper girl.
I've got a Whopper right here. Eat it. Eat it.
Look, it looks like she's eating the Whopper.
Ketchup on Mona Lisa.
She has grease running down her chin.
I'm so fired.
Well, just soak your left hand while I work on your right hand cuticles, okay? I'm gonna just start buffing them. It means polish. It's a natural look. Got an electric buffer here.
It is out. It's kind of painful. You're kind of hurting
That's
me.
That's right.
Give me... My hand is bleeding at this point.
Oh, that's... that's
ma'am,
normal.
I'm the manager. Is there anything going wrong? It looks like you're doing a great job.
Thanks, yeah. Trish.
You're welcome, all right. Greg.
Actually, Trish, the manager, my nail is coming off at this point. I want a full refund, and I want to get out of here as fast as possible.
Well, I can't do that, but I can give you this voucher that gives you a free buffering from Greg.
Greg, specifically, that is the last... He's not certified. He clearly is... unprofessional.
To be redeemable right now.
Okay, just give me your left hand and you can soak that bloody hand in the water.
I am not the
just
what
gonna
would make
start
me do
buffing on this nail. So.
Yeah,
this dark blood maroon is really your color.
Did you just handcuff my hand?
Yeah, you need to be still. This is delicate work.
Oh god, no.
Ooh, see, I'm gonna do an accent nail. This one, I'm just gonna go expose the bone. Nice, what? It's very trendy to do a ring accent finger.
Hey, honey, how was the nail salon? Oh, those are beautiful.
It's in so much pain. I think I got a fungus.
Oh. Oh, it's okay. Come here, honey.
No, don't touch me. They're just knobs at this point. My fingers are just knobs.
Here, let me just kiss each one of them.
No, but dude, what are you doing?
Oh, I got a little blood on the corner of my mouth. Oh, God, it's so weird.
Hey, Mom. Whoa, your fingers are all short and weird. I'm going to give you lots of high fives.
No, I was in an accident. Please, quit. Just take me to the hospital.
Take you to the... Oh, I'll be your doctor. What seems to be the matter? You need to be hit a bunch. Yeah. I'm a good dog.
Hey, lady, walking down the street, why are you flipping me off all weird with your weird fingers?
It was an accident. I'm not flipping you off. Please don't mug me.
I'm not going to block you. I'm just going to give you a bunch of high fives.
No. Ow.
Hey, you look really hungry. Here, put your hand in this bag of salty, salty potato chips.
Go! Oh, no, I'm just going to the hospital.
Crunchy, crunchy.
Oh. It's cleaning them, I guess.
Welcome to the hospital, ma'am. Oh, my, your fingers look very, very injured. We're just going to need you to fill out these 18 forms in triplicate.
I can't.
Here's our pens. They have little tiny razor blades on them.
You're going to have to Because
we also take blood samples.
Oh, nurse, don't forget to have her dip it in lemon juice ink.
Oh, good. No. Thank you, doctor. That's why he's the doctor.
I'm gonna just take care of myself for now on. I don't need anyone.
Okay.
So now you want the pedicure?
Definitely not, Greg.
So I just think that this relationship is not working out, mostly because
I still love you.
Yeah.
I love you too.
So, I can't date both of you at once, and I really
just
think...
Date me.
I think I should date myself. You know? Like, I need to be a better person, or whatever.
But I moved to Tuskegee to be with you.
You guys are... Look, you're both great. You're so great. Each of you individually is such an individual, and I appreciate you.
But together, then... Thank
what?
You. Oh my God.
We're free.
No.
We've been bound this whole time by your love for us. Damn it.
I still care about both of you a lot.
Sure you do.
No, I do. No. Look, okay. So we've been dating for a month and a half, and I just think that time has been special. We all met at the same party, and I started dating both of you at the same time because I'm very indecisive. I'm gonna miss you. Beautiful decisions.
We will miss you too. We thought we were free.
You'll never be free of me. I'm also gonna visit you at least once a week just to check in how you're doing.
We'll be sad and cutting ourselves.
Whoa.
Sharon, how did the breakup go? I'm just trying to monitor your counselor, your progress.
I think it went really well.
Yeah. Oh, so how did you lead? Did you break up with them each individually and let them know that you care about them but want to move on?
No, I put them in the same room together and I broke up with both of them at the same time. And then I figured since they're like the same person, it'd be okay. It seemed pretty good. They seemed pretty happy about it. Well, they were crying, but whatever.
Karen, I think we should explore your unhealthy view of individuality.
Fuck. Fuck.
Cool, I'm gonna go get some tacos, guys.
Because we didn't get hard enough sex.
I was gonna say no, but like I'm thinking about it, and like I think that's the moment I decided I wanted to end it though.
Fuck.
At this point, Carol, I think we really need to. We need to focus on your idea of individuality and how you treat people.
Treating them like they're all the same? No, I think that's right.
I hate telling you your clinical term, but you're a narcissist.
Am I?
And it's all about you. Yes.
That sounds nice.
That's not a nice...
That's a good word. Like, the way it sounds, narcissist. The S's, they feel nice on my tongue.
Okay. I'm not...
This has been good. I feel like this has been right, you know?
Are you breaking up with me?
Listen, it's not you, it's me. I just really need someone who understands me and doesn't insult me.
I think clinically you would be called a narcissist.
This is the best counseling session I've ever had.
Yeah, you're like super nice, very like friendly to everybody, and that's your thing, and you're really good to yourself.
Yeah, I think that taking care of yourself is like the most important part.
Yeah, completely.
I don't take care of me, who's going to?
Exactly. That's what I say too.
You're so right.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. This is the best counseling session I've ever had.
I've never dated a patient before.
It's illegal, I'm pretty sure.
I think
danger.
I know, and that's the excitement of it. I have another patient waiting right outside the door.
Well, let's bring him in.
Okay. Hey, Derek.
Oh, can I come in 5 minutes early?
Yeah, do you mind if my other patient, Donna, stays in here with us?
Like a group session?
Yeah, something like that. She's just here to watch.
Okay. It'll help me work on my social anxiety.
Yeah, it'll be really good for you. Come on in, Derek.
I'm going to be super helpful and not say anything. I'm going to be so quiet. Like, right now, I'm saying almost nothing, and I'm not judging you. I mean, I might think a few things like, oh my God, this guy's really weird, but I'm not going to say them.
See, okay. Now how are you dealing with that, Derek?
I'm taking it in, like you told me to.
Mm-hmm. Are you processing?
I'm processing my emotions, and...
How are you feeling with it? Are you exhaling your emotions?
I'm feeling very validated.
Good. Okay, come on in and sit down.
Okay. So this has been a really hard week for me.
Okay.
It's been a really hard week for me, too. I just wanted you to know that I sympathize and I feel the same things. Is now the part where I talk about me some more?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay, so like I had to break up with two dudes at once, you know, and now I have to sit with this weirdo. Ugh, just life is really... I had to break up with my other therapist.
You had to sit with a weirdo?
Yeah. Let her talk, Derek.
Wow, you're being super rude.
I'm sorry, it's just a follow-up clarification question. I'll listen.
Good. Wow. It's so rude whenever you, like, are coming and, like, I'm paying for your services and you're just taking my time, you know?
Now, Derek, how are you dealing with this? Are you doing well?
Well, I feel like I didn't ask to come in 5 minutes early.
Right.
It was thrust upon me. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for this. So I shouldn't be rebuked.
You know, sometimes, Derek, we get what we deserve.
So it's probably I was deserving
it's
that
your
my
fault.
Parents died.
Yeah. Yeah, you basically killed your parents.
You know, when you think about it, Derek, that's not a bad way to look at it.
Deep down in my heart, I felt guilty.
No, Derek, you talk about this for a while. I'm just going to make out
with
Donna
gonna
for
make
a little
out.
While.
Okay, so like deep in my heart, I had this...
A little bit quieter, Derek.
I had this fear that it was that I didn't love my parents enough and that they knew that, and that's...
Can you scoot over on the couch just a little bit?
If you could just like sit on the floor, that'd be great.
Just because the cancer started so close to their hearts, I thought that it was maybe that I wasn't giving them enough love.
Derek, I'm going to make direct eye contact with you while I'm meeting my counselor.
I watched the life drain from my father's eyes.
I'm sorry, I tossed my shirt directly on your face.
Just move that. My dad's last words to me were, I could have done better. Wish you had done better. He said that the pain inside from the cancer couldn't be nearly as bad as the
pain.
Can
you talk in more detail about the cancer? Like, I want to know the details of his pain.
And I want you to talk explicitly about how the cancer was your fault.
I metastasized right after I told them that I was gay. And so I think that maybe they were just shattered.
So
thinking about going to see a therapist or counselor of some kind. That's not what happens. And it's a safe place. Next up, Pat!
And that's our show. Thank you to Potty Talk. Thank you to
Laura
and
Caitlin.
You can see Laura and Caitlin at
Station Theater.
That's right.
Houston, Texas.
In Houston, Texas. And we're on Facebook. So like our page.
That's right. What is your page at Facebook so people can get a hold of you?
Facebook.com/Potty Talk Improv.
It's PotTyTalkImprov.
That was very impressive.
That was really impressive.
I am an English teacher. Philip, what do you have going on?
Well, since people in Texas might listen to this, you can see one of my improv groups, The Houlihans, will be at Austin Out of Bounds September 1st, which is a Tuesday. So come over to that. But if you're here...
The Houlihans are fucking great. And if you guys aren't a huge fan of Game of the Scene, so that's all they do.
Perfect.
Very game heavy, yeah. But if you live here in Minneapolis, the next local music scene show is Saturday, July 18th at 10 p.m. at the Bryant Lake Bowl, and our musical guest is The Drug Budget.
Sweet, yeah, which I think all of us are in, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you're probably in it.
Yeah, it's a huge group. I am in a group called Drew and Matt, which is weird that we would call ourselves that.
Yep.
It's two people, me and a guy named Drew.
Oh, that's surprising.
Why? Yeah, right? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Well, their first conversation with each other was about themselves.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
That's nice.
In bathrooms. And we are going to be at Huge Theater, 31st and Lindale in Uptown Minneapolis. Go to hugetheater.com to see what is going on at that pure long-form improv theater. On Fridays at 9:30 in July and August. So come check us out. Our first show just happened two nights ago once this came out. Yep, that's right.
It was great.
It was
so good.
It was so good to jump to 45 minutes. And boy, it was surprising some of those things that we did, wasn't it?
Amazed. Awestruck.
Yeah.
Still can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah. Right. What did you two think?
It changed my life. Like, not to overplay it, but I was crying, laughing. At one point, I had to leave because I was so overcome with emotion. But then I came back and it was even better.
Wow.
Yeah. And I still have the lack of hair. I'm going to get that ingrained in my tattoo just to remember. Not like I will have to have a reason to remember it, but just to explain it. Like, I want people to ask me what happened to me that night, and I will let them know.
I wet my pants. That was unrelated.
We saved those.
Yeah. I'm never taking them off again.
And I'll be up at Off Book later this month, too, at least once. Philip, how can people get a hold of us?
They can send us an email, nextupatpodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook.com/nextatbat and listen to us and other amazing podcasts on noisepicnic.com.
Subscribe to our podcast, rate and review. Using your words will make English teachers who taught you very, very happy. And tune in next week when we're going to have a brand new group on. Until then, as always, go to therapy, motherfuckers.
It is your fault.